Normally at this moment in a worship service, I'm going to share a few words and then we ring the gong. But during Advent, we decided to change things up a little bit. Our lectors for the season of Advent are young people from the church. Because normally what we do when we light the Advent candles is we have families that are up here, and the moms and dads are the folks that say the words, and the cute kids are the ones that light the candles, and we decided we'd change it up and have the mature young people as the ones that would say the words, and the cute moms and dads lighting the candles. So this morning, Mimi and Ted will be our candle lighters, while son Ty leads us in this litany, and we will do a litany like this every Sunday as we light our candles. And Mimi and Ted, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I think I broke one of these. So I'll let you all figure it out because you're smart and intelligent people. Ty, it's all yours.
Please join me in lighting the Advent candle. God of grace, as we light these candles, we remember your promise because of war.
Your light shines within us.
You have chosen us to bear your love into the world.
Your presence grows within us.
We await the coming of Christ.
Your spirit moves within us.
We prepare for your coming in joy and simplicity.
Come, Holy Spirit, and transform us by your grace. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Can we break this one too?
Please rise in body or spirit to join me for the Advent call to worship. Because of war, because of violence in our communities, because there is still so much unrest in the world. Because hatred is still so strong, because so many swords have not yet been beaten into plowshares. May the light from this candle shine across the world. Friends, be not afraid. Amen. Let us pray together in unison. Holy source of life and hope, as we come together this day, open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, and open our hearts to love, that we may come to know your ways and follow your paths. Help us grow in love for one another and for all creation as we prepare for the coming of the one who calls us to turn from false gods to you. Holy One, the true source of our salvation. Amen.
Oh.
And as we get seated, may I ask our children to come forth in joy, in joy. Share a couple of thoughts here. So first of all, yay, we got the banner up. Thank you. Not sure what's happening with the fishing line, but you know, it did its thing finally. So good morning, everybody. How are you all? I'm better than pretty great. I'm alive and kicking. So in just a little bit, you're going to leave here. And you're going to leave here and you're going to go back into the wild and wonderful, capable hands of Auntie Joanna and Auntie Jen to begin to talk about December 19th, when we are going to all turn to you all to be the wise and wonderful people leading us in worship, or for much of worship. And so there's a whole bunch of, there's a song or two that you all are working on, and there's some thoughts that you all are thinking about, and so I wanted to share with you just a couple of quick thoughts. So let's name, in the story about Jesus being born, tell me who some of the main characters are. Tell me one. Jesus is certainly one of the main characters. I like that. Yes, ma'am. Mary is another main character. Yes. Joseph. Joseph is right there. Any other characters? The angel Gabriel, of course. Could you stand and do the wings as well? Thank you. There we go. The angel Gabriel. Thank you. Exactly. Enough said. We're done. So the angel Gabriel, are there any other characters that you all can think of that are in this story? Yes? The innkeeper. Pretty good. So what's an innkeeper? The one who keeps an inn. What's an inn? It's not an out. Yeah, it's kind of like a hotel or a motel, right? Yeah, it's a tiny little place that has extra rooms. Yes, ma'am. Another character? The shepherds, of course. And the wise men. Three of them. There could have been more. There could have been less. We don't really know. But we'll take the three, because the song says, we three kings, except they're not kings, so forget that. So let's go back to the innkeeper. So the innkeeper is the person that keeps the inn. The inn is like a small little hotel, right? So why is an innkeeper in this story? Any idea? Yes, ma'am. Mary and Joseph need a place where they can give birth to the baby that's coming, right? So why don't they do it in their own home? Yes, ma'am. Yep. So like the king, the emperor, the Caesar says that he wants to count everybody. Why do you think he wants to count everyone? Anybody got an idea? I bet you got an idea. Yes, ma'am. Taxes, exactly. He wants money. Needs to know how many people are there, how to get their money. And the best way to find out how many people are there is he tells everyone that they have to go back to the city where their family is descended from. Okay, so where is this inn? Anybody know where this inn is? Yes, I know you know. Let's go somewhere else. Where is this inn, my dear? Where's the inn? Not Jerusalem. There's another. It begins with a B. Bethlehem. Thank you very much. So there's this inn in Bethlehem. Why are they, anyone famous from Bethlehem that you can think of? Well, Jesus is, but before Jesus, think David. King David, right? King David was born in Bethlehem. Outside of King David, nothing has happened in Bethlehem for like 1,000 years. It's a tiny little podunk little town. It's the kind of place that if you blink, you go by it, you'll never see it. But David had a lot of descendants. None of them stayed in Bethlehem. That tells you maybe something about Bethlehem. But David had a lot of descendants, a lot of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-great-great. So all of a sudden, this tiny little town, Bethlehem, has a lot of people in it. So if I'm the innkeeper, and I'm the only show in town, and I've only got a couple of rooms, and there's now hundreds of people coming here, am I excited or am I stressed? Absolutely. I might be excited for the first five who are going to fill my rooms. After that, I'm not happy because now people are banging on my door wanting to know if I got a room that they can stay in. And who comes banging on the door the night before what we know is Christmas? Yes. Both of you, say it together. Mary and Joseph. It's like being on Jeopardy and with the guy who wins 30 games in a row. Mary and Joseph, and Mary is what? Hop high, very pregnant. And what do they want? What do they want? They want a place to stay. And does the innkeeper have a place to stay? No. Lots of pressure. Think about this time of the year. There's a lot of pressure. Any of you in any special shows, maybe, that are taking a lot of your time? Any of you in any special choirs that are maybe taking a lot of your time? Any of you have teachers that are giving you projects to get done just before Christmas? It's taking a lot of your time. Any of you have families that are going to have lots of family coming to visit that's taking a lot of your time? It's a time with a lot of pressure, and the innkeeper had a lot of pressure. And we don't know whether he handled it well or not. All we know is there was no room at the inn. Life gives us pressure. How we respond to it is everything. We're going to have a time in which there's lots of pressure in our world. How we respond is everything. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about, if you were the innkeeper, how you might respond in this moment. And you're going to talk about some of that when you go across the way into Weaver Hall. Okay? But on your way, I'd like you to stop, and I'd like you to pass the peace with whoever you may find. Give them a fist bump, elbow bump, whatever it is. Namaste. Peace be with you all. Peace of Christ be with everyone. Peace, folks.
Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. God said, I made a wonderful promise to Israel and Judah, and the days are coming when I will keep it. I promise that the time will come when I appoint a ruler from the family of David, a ruler who will be honest and rule with justice. In those days, Judah will be safe. Jerusalem will have peace and will be named God Gives Justice. The second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 26 or 29 through 36. Then Jesus told them a story. When you see a fig tree or any other tree putting out leaves, you know that summer will come soon. So, when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom will soon be here. You can be sure that some of the people of this generation will still be alive when all of this takes place. The sky and earth won't last forever, but my words will. Don't spend all of your time thinking about eating or drinking or worrying about life. If you do, the final day will suddenly catch you like a trap. That day will surprise everyone on earth. Watch out and keep praying that you can escape all that is going to happen, and that the human one will be pleased with you.
Oh, sorry.
Hi. Here ends the reading.
Anyone here ever been to Charlemont State Park in Western Massachusetts? Okay, next time you're in Western Massachusetts, I know it's right on our travel itineraries, but next time you're there at Thanksgiving time, I really recommend it. So in 1985, when I was in my second year of seminary, I was thinking about where did I want to spend Thanksgiving, this day that I love so much, with friends, since I wasn't going to fly home to Hawaii and be with family. And I saw a brochure for this place called Charlemont State Park in Western Massachusetts. You looked at brochures back then in 1985. And it looked so beautiful. It was these little cabins in the woods with wood-burning stoves, and it felt like if I want to do Thanksgiving and sort of take it back to its most basic form, let's go there. So a couple friends and I, we made the decision. We rented the cabin there at Charlemont State Park. A few days before, I cooked a turkey. A few days before, I mashed potatoes. I cooked a pumpkin pie. I got the vegetables all together that would be necessary. We loaded up my car the day before Thanksgiving. We got there on Thanksgiving Day. We heated up that wood-burning stove. We reheated the turkey. We reheated those mashed potatoes, warmed the pumpkin pie, cooked the vegetables, and we had an amazing Thanksgiving moment. It was kind of like a Norman Rockwell painting. There in our little cabin in the woods with a wood-burning stove, Thanksgiving at its most basic form. I fell in love again with that day, with Thanksgiving Day at that time. Little did I know what was going to happen over the night. Because over the night, while our bellies were doing their best to digest what we had consumed, God was doing God's best to create wonder. Because when we woke up in the morning, a good foot of freshly fallen snow was on the ground. And Charlemont State Park is an area that decades before had been heavily logged. And decades before, if I had been there, I probably would have been aghast at this scarred landscape. But that morning, the trees that they had planted in neat rows, which I kind of would find normally somewhat antiseptic, but on that morning, those trees were at full height, and the neat rows that they had been planted in created avenues for sunlight to come booming in that was like more cathedral-like than any cathedral I have ever been in. It was a magnificent morning. It was a morning when you know that indeed that which God has created lives in harmony and balance at its purest form. It was a moment in which the veil between heaven and earth was as gossamer thin as that first morning of Eden. It was an incarnational moment when we could see the very presence of the Christ right there in everything that we saw. It was gorgeous. And as we walked and hiked through that, we luxuriated in the beauty that had been given to us that morning. 6 years earlier, not quite on Thanksgiving, there had been a very different sort of wintry scene that I was a part of. A very different sort of wintry scene that began with sounds I had never heard before, the sounds of boughs creaking, tree limbs creaking, cracking, and finally crashing into newly fallen snow. This was a sound that I was hearing in the mountains of West Virginia at Flock Wilderness School, where I was working as a counselor with kids that were there instead of being in a adjudicated program. They were there in this wilderness therapy program, and neither I nor the other staff members or the youth had ever heard a sound like that. Because the truth of the matter is, this was in September that this was happening. In September, in those Appalachian Mountains, the maples, the ash, the hickories, the oaks had not yet dropped their leaves in their autumnal wonder, thus creating way more surface area for frozen rain, known as snow, to land on them, and the boughs of those trees, which could withstand all the calling and playing and pulling that my young people were part of, could not withstand the weight that day. And they began to crash and fall all around us. If ever there was a symbol of life out of balance, out of whack, That Christmas, that September morning was certainly that, because it was 2 months early. Those leaves had not yet fallen. In the scripture that Ty just read for us, in Luke, Jesus says, be alert, be aware. And I think one of the first levels of alertness, one of the first levels of awareness that we need to follow is to be alert and aware of when things have gone out of whack. Who knows, in 1979, when I was experiencing those boughs breaking, whether or not that was because of climate change that was already happening, or whether it just happened to be a weather event, which will sometimes happen with or without our best or worst intentions. But for whatever reason, it was a moment out of balance, out of whack, and Jesus calls us to be alert, to be aware. To be aware of those moments in our life when things are not as they should be. Certainly that would be the case of what we are experiencing right now in the world in which we live, in which the climate is indeed out of whack, in which indeed we need to be aware and aware as we are seeing 100-year storms happening twice, three times in a decade, as we are seeing glaciers melt, as we are finding out that permafrost isn't so permanent after all, that we are seeing islands go under in the South Pacific. Something is out of balance and out of whack, and we are called to be aware, to be alert. In the same way, over the last 20 months, what we have been experiencing in the midst of a pandemic is something that is out of balance, out of whack. We who are humans who desire the ability to be gathered together when we are in struggle, to be gathered together when things are good, have been hardly able to do so. We've not been able to come in together to put our foreheads together for a honi, to share our breath. We've not been able to come together, put our hands together and say namaste to one another. We've not been able to reach our arms around one another to hug and to kiss. We have been limited by the very things that seem to make life right, even in this setting. The ability to sing, the ability to gather, the ability to have a second Sunday potluck, all of those things have been limited. It's been out of whack, out of order, out of the natural. We are told to be aware, to be alert. Because normally if we are aware and alert, it is also a call to action. So that September when those boughs are falling, when they had finally finished their falling, what did we do? We gathered the boys together and we gathered those boughs together and we brought our saws out and we chopped those branches and those trees into smaller pieces and we stored them so that a year later when they were dry, it would provide warmth in the winter. It was a call to action. A call to action that right now I could tell you, we are all engaged in when we think about this climate that is out of whack. I can tell you that. Listen, if you are married to the assistant director of the state energy office, you hear every day all the things that has happened that are happening here in Hawaii to move us towards our nation-leading goals of being zero, net zero by 2045. We are finding ways to use the wind, to use the sun, to use the tides, to use all these things of abundant energy. We are finding ways to turn our rooftops into not just photovoltaic places, but mini wind turbines to cool our roofs and even plant things on our rooftops. We are seeing innovation. We are seeing so much. It is a call to action when we are alert, when we are aware. Think about what we have experienced right here in the midst of a pandemic. The fact that I am right here staring at, how many is it? 39 devices that are on the TV right now on the Zoom screen while there are another 60 or 70 of us right here is a way in which we have adapted, we have listened, we have been aware and become alert. We have figured out how to utilize the technology to keep us together. And it's not just in worship. How many of us are doing telehealth, telework, and all sorts of telethings in order to keep ourselves running and moving along? We are called to be alert and aware because it is a call to action. But there's a danger in that. There is a danger in that moment in which we think ourselves being called to action whenever we see things that we are aware and alert of, because we begin to think it's all up to us. And when we begin to think it's all up to us, that is what will lead us to burnout and exhaustion. When we begin to think it's all up to us and we see one problem after another and we solve one thing and the next thing comes along, it's what leads us to disillusionment and anger. And what we forget, this phrase that Walter Brueggemann, that wonderful Hebrew scholar of the Hebrew Bible, says, is we forget the divine mystery of impossibility. The divine mystery of impossibility. We forget that it is not all about us. We forget that indeed God is also present in this world in which we live. God is indeed still working with us. And indeed there is much that is going on that allows us to think about that. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah is writing. The book of Jeremiah is written either right before Babylon comes to consume Judah and Jerusalem, or is written after they've been consumed and sent into exile, and now they're waiting, will they ever be able to return to the promised land? And Jeremiah says, do not give up on the divine impossibility. The ability of the divine to work into the moment and to create the impossible. And indeed, Jeremiah is right, because three generations later, the exile ends and they return. We are called to think about, when we are called to be aware, to be alert, is to also not just be aware and alert of what is going wrong, but to also be aware and alert of all the ways in which God is present and working, even when we are not thinking about it. Jesus says in the scripture from Luke, Jesus says, look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. In the wintertime, the fig tree loses all of its leaves. In the wintertime, the fig tree shrivels up and looks utterly dead. And yet, in the wintertime, what the fig tree is doing, it is sort of consolidating itself as much as it can to keep itself as warm as possible so that it may store sugars within it, so that when the warmth returns to the world outside, it will burst forth and blossom and bloom and fruit that will fill the bellies of many. Look at the fig tree. Jesus says, for the divine impossibility is indeed at work there. And if the fig tree does it for Jesus, then why don't you walk out on University Avenue and look at the gold tree? Because that gold tree is just beginning to develop some golden blossoms that tell us every time when it goes into full bloom that indeed God is present. Or if the gold tree isn't enough, go out there and look at that ulu tree that is filled with ulu, filled with breadfruit. Look at the banyan, look at the monkey pods, that when you look at the archival photos of this church as the building went up, didn't exist. And now they have created this canopy that is a sanctuary and a welcome to all the people. If you want to see the divine impossibility, it's all around us. If you could walk across right now to where Joe and Desiree are, and the little ones are with them, you would see them crawling all over Joe and Desiree. If you need a sign of the divine impossibility, it's right there in our children. Right there in the children that are over in Weaver Hall, figuring out what to do on December 19th so that they may lead us in worship three Sundays from now. If you want to understand that God is indeed present, look at the ways in which you have figured out how to use your eyes to smile when you're behind a mask. How could we have gotten past these last 20 months without being more intentional about the way we use our eyes, the way we slash a shaka, we give a wave, things that we might not have done when all you need to do is look at my happy face? God, the divine impossibility, is there at work amongst us. And when Jesus says, be alert, be aware, it is a call not just to see where it's out of whack, but to see as well where the divine impossibility is at work. And so at the beginning of Advent, at the beginning of this most crazy, out of balance time from Thanksgiving to Christmas, an artificial out of balance that we have created in pursuit of the most perfect food, the most perfect family gatherings, the most perfect gift, in which we will find ourselves saying daily, I am running out of time, in which we will find ourselves putting ourselves into debt that we cannot be doing. We will be creating an artificial out of balance nature. So how appropriate that we begin this season with stop. Pause. Be aware. Listen. Pay attention. Joyce Holliday, who was once the associate editor at Sojourners magazine, speaks about this moment. She says, allow this moment, this season, to prepare our fallow hearts to welcome mystery, to water our dormant souls with springs of joy, to cultivate awe and plant seeds of hope. So my wish for all of us is that as the world goes crazy around us, that we may indeed take those moments to be alert, to be aware, engage where it is that we need to engage, but also engage our hearts and engage our spirits, so that 4 weeks from now, when we gather to celebrate the birth of the incarnate one, we can say it's not just on that day that Christ is born. It is on every day that Christ is born within us and through us in all that we say and all that we do. Amen. Hallelujah, indeed. Let us use that as a moment to transform ourselves into a people of prayer as well. A number of prayers have been sent to me this week that I want to lift up. Corrine Tan, who is right in the back there, is with us this Sunday from Rhode Island, and she asked that we would please hold her husband, Chung Yi, who's just been diagnosed with leukemia. The disease is in its early stage, and they're still consulting with doctors on what to do. But if we would hold Chung Yi and indeed Corrine in our prayers at this time as they go into this moment of life. God, hear our prayers. Emily Gilmar joins the rest of us in wishing her mom, Janet, happy birthday today as she turns 80 today. God, hear our prayers. Emily Villamo says, asks us to pray that during these holidays that are so often so focused on families, may we also hold in prayer the many of us who are single at this time and for whom this can be a difficult time. God, hear our prayers. And she also says, some of you may remember Catherine Snyder Lowe from her time at Crossroads in the 90s. Now lives in Vancouver, BC. Her daughter, who is 19, recently, as she says, has imploded emotionally due to the suicide of a friend. So she asks that we pray for Kathy, the mom, for her daughter, for her husband, John, for the son, and obviously for the family who has lost their child. God, hear those prayers. And a prayer that was sent to me from one of our members who asked that we would just hold in prayer those who suffer from mental illness. God, hear our prayers. And Linda, I know you've gotten some prayers, and do you want to also share prayers for Judy as well?
Yes, our dear Judy Rantala had a bad fall on Thursday morning, really early, and broke the femur in her left leg. She, on Friday, had a six-hour-long surgery to insert a metal plate from her hip to her knee. She's at Kaiser Moanalua and will be there for a few more days. So please keep her in your prayers.
God, hear our prayers.
I have two other prayers to share. One is from Diane and Lonnie, who are asking for prayers of safe travel for Diane's daughter, Kathy, who's going to be heading back to Austin, Texas.
God, hear our prayers.
The next prayer is from Irene Hassan. She is asking, she's giving a prayer of thanksgiving for this Crossroads church and community, and for the way that we have walked with her through her discernment process and her attempts to become ordained, which that attempt has still not been successful, and just prayers of thanksgiving. And I would like to add a prayer for the Oahu Association Committee on Ministry, that they come to be enlightened about the very deep call to ministry that this woman experiences, and that they remove the barriers to her ordination.
God, hear our prayers. Are there any prayers that I missed in the Zoom world? Hands that are up? No. So let us continue.
There's one.
There's a prayer here. You can now. Where?
David.
Oh, Liz. I'm sorry. I'm staring at the screen. My apologies. Go ahead, Liz.
I think many of you remember Skip and Sandy Polson, so we need prayers for their family. Their youngest daughter, Miyako, who is pregnant and due in March, had a very severe car accident. I just got an email from Sandy. The baby sounds like it's okay, and Miyako is okay. Her car is totaled. So, you know, all the things that go along with those kinds of things. And so prayers for the Polson family, and Miyako in particular.
Thank you, Liz. God, hear our prayers. Let's continue in prayer as we pray. Oh, yes, there's more. Two prayers. Go ahead. Sorry. Thank goodness I have people back there telling me what to do. Shanti?
Oh, okay. Am I muted?
No, we can hear you.
Am I muted? I can hear?
No.
You can hear?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Yes. Thanksgiving for this time, that we may all slow down in our steps, that we may truly remember all the people that have surrounded us and that may not be with us now. Because I have been around some people, seems like they are tied up in themselves, their lives, and they forget all their friends of the past. But also, Christmas time, we must all come together and think of family, friends, and there are dear people, mental health, it really gets to them this time of the year. And that there is new mutation of the COVID, so be aware, okay? Stay
Got
safe
it.
And healthy.
Thank you. Thanks, Shanti. God, hear our prayers. And one more from Adam. Yay.
Yeah, hi. I know some people have maybe already put out the prayer request previously, but my mother passed away 2 weeks ago, and I just pray that, you know, I know that she's in a great place, and I pray that, you know, God stays with my family and I as we continue through the grieving process.
Thank you, Adam. God, hear our prayers. All right, now let's continue our prayers together with saying together the Lord's Prayer. Earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. For the hurts we cause others, forgive us. To forgive those who have hurt us, empower us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Peace is this Advent Sunday's theme. To me, this church's peace comes in different forms. There's a spreading of peace to people outside this community. There's a feeling of joyful and a loving community, and there's a feeling of serenity and calmness. The first form of peace I listed comes in the form of advocating for peace by walking together at the Pride Parade and MLK Parade. I could document my growing up by the pictures my mom posts on Facebook of each parade. I've strolled the parade, I've gotten carried on my dad's shoulders along the parade, I've wagoned, I've scootered multiple times, skateboarded, walked, and even unicycled. Just kidding, only Gabriel unicycled. Just this past year or two, we have participated in the Black Lives Matter March and climate strike. The IHS cooks bring peace to many people's stomachs, and many people in this church or in this community help bring peace to different people at different places. Outside the church, I feel our peaceful environment and community when we work at Mahala Farms and go to Camp Mokulia to have fun. The talent show blesses us with a loud peacefulness, which is only achievable with people's wonderful skits. At this church, I have always felt peace, except for when Mono talks trash. I love the peace we feel when we play sports on Sports Sunday, working in the gardens or recycling cans and bottles, where we share a community of peace. Eating Auntie Kathy's delicious fall fair crepes always makes me feel peace. When the gong rings, I feel peace. Back in elementary school, when we sang with Uncle John Kawamoto, I felt peace. And I could go on and on about all the things that are peaceful in this church. Starting Advent, I'm looking forward to one of the most peaceful things in this church, which is the Christmas Eve service. I always feel a calm peacefulness when we hold the candles out in the dark and sing Silent Night out in the grass field. To keep helping our peace reach others, and the growing keiki feel the peace that I got to experience, please give generously, either in person or online.
Thank you.
Dear God, please help the people that do not feel peace feel peace, and help everyone feel joy, hope, and love. Amen.
So let us go forth. Let us go forth into this world and let us be aware, alert, watching. Watching for where we need to interact, but watching as well where the divine impossibility is happening in this world. For it is in that divine impossibility that we find the presence of Christ within ourselves as well. Ima oko ka loko mai ka I o ka haku Isu Christo. Me ke aloha o ke akua a me ka lana puana o ka ohane he molele me o koa pao. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.